there's a tradition in the yeshivas, the beginning of this man, to talk about the importance of learning bi'iyun. And Talmidim have good questions. Some Talmidim ask, maybe at the end of the day, wouldn't it be appropriate for me to first go through all of the Gemara quickly, get a familiarity with Shas? In an ideal world, it could be that first one should have that. But now, as 18, 19-year-olds, maybe first, before I learn Bi'iyun, have a real background. Some Talmidim ask, at the end of the day, isn't it more important for me to get down all of the four Chelkei Shulchan Aruch now before I begin to go on in life? The Braisa Maseches Sofrim uses a very interesting expression about what was a tragedy for Chazal. The translation of Torah. V'ya'oisa yoyim kosha li'Yisrael. That day was difficult to Klal Yisrael. Ki yoyim shenasa bo ega. The day that Klal Yisrael sinned with the golden calf. Shaloi haisa taira yechayla lehisragem kol tzarka. Because Torah couldn't be translated entirely. Two basic questions. What exactly is the Braisa Maseches Sofrim driving at when it says Lo Yecholus Ragem Kol Tzarka? It wasn't able to be translated entirely. And the most obvious question: it was bad. It was a sign of the Jewish assimilation. But Kiyoyim Shenasa Ba'ego, the day in which we sinned of Avodah Zarah. Before I go on, when I'm talking about Iyun, I'm not talking about any style of Iyun. There are many different Mesorahs within Klal Yisrael, how to learn Iyun. But I'd like Be'ezer Hashem to discuss four Milos, four special components that come along with throwing oneself into learning Iyun that are absolutely necessary in transforming ourselves in Ovdei Hashem. And with that, we'll begin to understand what the Braisa Maseches Sofrim is talking about. Let's begin with the problem of what does it mean that Torah couldn't be entirely translated? L'Yisragem Kol Tzarka. In our generation, and Chazal saw this in the Greek generation as well, but Kal V'chomer Ben Menoshel Kal V'chomer, our generation, we live in a time and in a period where relativism is the challenge of our lives. There's nothing that's absolute. There's no absolute value anymore. For those of us who intune that there's a moral right or wrong, we are surrounded by enemies of relativism. The first time I went back to the United States after I made Aliyah, I was so struck, and I never noticed this before, but I passed by an advertisement. I was driving on the highway, and there was a bright Nissan compact car that was being advertised, and the sign said, "Be a saint, be a sinner, just be." And those are the subtle messages that we are. Now, I'm not sure what that has to do with the bright yellow car. But at the end of the day, what's appealed to the mindset of the average young man and young woman is absolute relativism. Amilus Patera is a war, our war, against that mindset of relativism. There's a right way to read Rashi, and there's a wrong way to read Rashi. And we struggle. It's a search. It's not about simply information. And that's what the emphasis of Maseches Sofrim, the first part of the emphasis, is all about. That Torah was no longer about an absolute Havana. It was now introduced to the world of moral relativism. You know, they say that the average bride magazine did a study. The average bride spends 100 hours preparing for her wedding, and the average groom spends 100 hours saying, it sounds good. There are some chavrusas that they come in, and whatever, the Rebbe says it this way, says it this way, his chavrusa says it this way, says that sounds good. Das hasnish learning, that's not called learning. Learning is an unbridled search, a passion for a search for MS. The signature of God is truth. It's an embodiment of that. It's an encounter of that. That's the first maila. And that's what Chazal are decrying. Cult Sarka, the moment in which it's no longer called Sarka, then we've introduced to the world our concession to relativism. There's another Madrega. One of my favorite stories is about Rav Shach Zatzal. When he turned about 70 or so, the doctor said that he wasn't getting enough sleep. And they brought him and the Rebbetzin in. They told him he has to go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. Of course, it was the Rebbetzin's job to make sure that he was actually going to be sleeping. So Rebbetzin said, I'm tucking you in at 10 o'clock tonight. So Rav Shach obliges, the doctor said so. They go to sleep. And the Rebbetzin wakes up at 1 in the morning to get a drink. And Rav Shach is gone. Rav Shach escaped. Rav Shach went back to the Beis Medrash. Not that he didn't want to listen to the doctor. He pasha couldn't. So Rebbetzin decides what she's going to do the next night. She's going to lock the door. So the Rebbetzin locks the door from the outside. Rav Shach is now stuck. He's in prison. Okay. So she wakes up in the middle of the night again. Rav Shach's not in bed. And Rav Shach is learning in the dining room. Figures the next night, what's she going to do? She's going to lock the apartment and she's going to go to the fuse box. Rav Shach doesn't know anything about where the electricity comes from. She goes to the fuse box, puts out the lights. Rav Shach is now stuck. He's going to get up in the middle of the night. He's going to try to get out of the house. The door is locked from the outside. Lights are out. She gets up at 1 in the morning. Now it's dark for her. She checks the bed. Again, Rav Shach's not there. She begins to search around the house. Now she's struggling to find the fuse box in the dark. She turns on the lights. The door is locked. She can't find her husband. She begins to look around. Finally, in the laundry room, where it's still dark, Rav Shach is standing on a chair by the boiler, learning by the LED light. Age 70 years old on a chair. Amelis Batorah and Iyun Batorah transforms one's Ramache Varim and Shesagidim. It's an absolute occupation that consumes one's entire being in a way that simply studying and memorizing information does not. There's a beautiful mimer that Rav Biederman quotes from the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was met by his father-in-law, the Kotzke Rebbe, at a time that the Avnei Nezer, who was a brilliant mind in of himself, and he was instructed also by doctors that he had to relax. And the Kotzke found the Avnei Nezer reading a beautiful sefer, a sefer Bechinas Olam, which talks about the emptiness of the physical world. A really stark Musar Sefer. And listen to what the Kotzke Rebbe said. Amar lo chamav, machidei shamechaber hu shemavil et olam. This that the Sefer talks about, the hevel of olam hazeh, belavach yodem hazeh, haseichel belavach yodem hazeh. Everybody who thinks about it knows that the ultimate of life is not a good steak. Avol minayin yodea zos b'sar hachomer shel ha'odom ach v'rak al yedei limud ha'gemara. The only way, said the Kotzke Rebbe, that one feels it in one's bones, into one's ramachi varim and shesagidim, that there's nothing else in the world aside from ruchnius, is through amelus b'toira. And it consumes one's entire goof. That's the second maila. And the moment in which it's no longer the Sragin called Sarka is the moment in which the entire Amach Evarim and Shesagidim no longer feel. Yes, this is Chassidus. The Kotzke Rebbe is saying is Chassidus. But anybody, ask any Talmud Chacham, any of your Rabbeim who are sitting here in the room right now, Ein al malidaber. There's no doubt about it that the guf is transformed. The third Maila is what the Gemara describes in Brachas on Samachim on the Beis and Avchav Beis on the Beis. And that is that when we learn Kinesinaso B'Sinai. As if we received Torah at Har Sinai. And that means that we have the opportunity through Amelus B'Torah to connect ourselves to Kudsha Brichu, to be entirely connected to Maimid Har Sinai, to the point that you feel that the Rambam and Rashi are sitting next to you. Is it a question of the general idea Rashi wants to give over? Or what did Rashi mean? Rashi's right here. Rashi's here. And we're talking to Rashi. Did Rashi say it this way or did Rashi say it that way? And with it comes a Musar. And the Musar, the Gemara in Chav Beis on the Beis says that it's a requirement that we learn Torah be'ema b'resas u'v'zeya as if we are receiving Torah at Har Sinai. And that means, when I was in Yeshiva University, I remember someone around finals time studying in a high-level shir, memorizing Shitas HaRishonim, Rishonim that I didn't even hear, I hadn't even been familiar with, and watching the last episode of Cheers. Be'ema b'resas u'b'zeya. That's a chiyuv. The Gemara says there are things that you can't do in Talmud Torah if it's not chas v'chalila be'ema b'resas u'b'zeya. L'isragim shelo yicholim l'isragim kol tzarka is the moment in which we allow not only relativism in, but the moment in which we lose that sense of kudsha brichu kinesinaso b'sinai, which is a machayiv. Rabbi Branshbigel Meir Refuah Shleima said he doesn't understand how the boys learn and at the same time they're drinking a cola. They're drinking Coke. To our great Rebbe, a Coke represents the luxury of America. Kinesinaso b'Sinai is the opposite. Someone told me that Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita said that his father, when he came to the States, couldn't believe that people sit and learn Torah at a chair, on a chair with a back. How did the Zaydis learn? They learned on a simple bench. Kinesinaso b'Sinai. That's Lisragim Kol Tzarka. Making sure that the essence of Torah, Rashi and the Rambam being with you, Mipi HaGevura, all of that is right with us. But then there's a fourth Madrega. The Gemara in Saitan, the Avdalin, and the Beis, the fourth Madrega is the key, the Pesach. And that's Kedusha. The Gemara in Saitan, the Avdalin, and the Beis has an amazing drasha. Yikara hi mipninim. The Pasuk in Mishlei says that Torah is dearer than pearls. What's Yikari Himipninim that's dearer than pearls? Says the Gemara, an amazing drasha. Yikaira Himipninim Mikayin Gadol Shenichnas Lifnayu Lifnim. Mipninim coming, a play on the words of Lifnayu Lifnim. Amelus B'Torah is greater than the Kohen Gadol, the Kedusha that we achieve. At the moment that we're truly throwing ourselves in with our Amach Evarim and Shesagidim is greater than the Kohen Gadol when he goes into the Kodshei Kadoshim. The Chazon Ish in his Igeres Yud Gimel says, Ha'ish ezocha l'teira hu hoylech bein ha'anoshim v'nidme l'odam. He walks amongst people and looks like a human being. Avol be'emes hu malach. He's truly a malach. The Zohar describes that someone who toils in Torah is achuz v'dovuk b'kudsha brichu. He is someone who is literally hugging and hugged by kudsha brichu. Rav Shechter Shlita told me the first time he gave a shiur in Yeshivat HaKotel, he said, and all of a sudden, while I was giving a shir, I had never seen him before, a malach stands up wearing tefillin and he begins to ask me a question.
who never saw shlita. A malach stands up and he begins to wearing tefillin. The kun says that it's a malach wearing tefillin. Right? That's the irony.
Teira, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufayim at Aleph says, Ano nafshi kasvi yovis. I am giving you my nefesh.
Someone who throws his ramach evarim and shasa gidim in, then he becomes close and part of kucha brichu batzmusa.
And that's what the Gemara means, that if chas v'cholilo we compromise, then it's as if we serve the egel azov.
Because the ultimate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in this world is His Torah.
And the moment in which we compromise His Torah is the moment that we've compromised the essence of Kudsha Brichu.
But we're not compromising Him, we're compromising ourselves. And when we compromise ourselves, then we've compromised Kudsha Brichu.
Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Deshmaya, that this should be a Zman, where we learn with our Ramach Evarim and Shesagidim,
that we are soldiers against the world of relativism, where we represent what Emes is all about, and thereby be Mekadesh Shem Shema.